Cool.
But how about
Hey, what's up, everybody? I want to welcome you all to the Type 88 show, where we talk to dreamers around the world about how they turn their dreams into reality. So if you haven't already, make sure to connect with the YouTube. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you can find your podcasts to catch weekly and bi-weekly shows of just people out here really making their dreams a reality. So our guest today, what's so cool about her, not only is she making her dreams a reality, but her dreams is helping other people with their dreams and giving them platforms, amplifying their voice, giving them a stage. And she's truly defines dreamer. And I'm very grateful to have her here with us. It was weird that she didn't have a show tonight or a poetry thing or an event or an online gathering or... she probably did already, or maybe going to after this, but I want to welcome Jay Rose to the Type 88 show. How are you, Jay Rose?
Hi, peace. Thank you so much for having me. It is kind of a miracle that there's nothing going on tonight, but there is. There's this. So yeah. There is something going on.
It's good to have you here.
Yeah. I'm excited.
So, you know, I've been connected with you for a while, but I don't even know how to, like, if I even looked at your profile, like, and I'd be like, what does she even do? Like, there's so much that you got going on. So, like, what would you say, like, are your superpowers, you know? Like,
it's always hard to answer that question, but for people to, like, really pinpoint what is that one thing she does, because there really is a lot that I do. But I guess you could say that I am just like a multifaceted creative that uses that to build an entrepreneurial platform on that. So I started out as a poet, and now I'm doing things more like curating events, hosting a talk show. Also stepping into like other creative spaces that I never expected to, as far as like coaching people and mentoring. So when people ask me like, what I do, I'm just like, I don't know. I'm an all around creative person. It's hard to explain that to older people, 'cause they're like, what is that? Like, what do you mean you're creative? Just like, yeah. It's a thing now.
That's so cool. Yeah. And dreaming is, you know, what you're all about. And absolutely. It's not the, oh, I hope dream. It's the, I'm out here living it dream.
Yeah.
So you said you were into poetry. Could you, maybe you could, when was like that first time you even found poetry, or like, how did you even get into that game?
For me, it really all started with like listening to hip hop. I really loved hip hop, and I've always been like, although I love a good beat, you know, of course, you gotta love a good song that's produced nicely. But, you know, I was always more a lyrical listener. So there was something about words and the wordplay and the way hip hop artists in the 90s really like explored vocabulary and things like that and storytelling. So I really admired that. And I was just like, you know, I think I can do this, but you know, I always wanted to rap, but I didn't feel like I was a rapper, right? I didn't have that like rapper vibe in me. But I knew that I wanted to like try something that did, you know, dealt with words. So, you know, I had a boyfriend in high school, and I wanted to write like a love poem. And, you know, that was my first poem. I wrote a love poem. It was titled, I Believe. And I know I have the book somewhere. And this is like, I'm gonna age myself, but this is like over 20 years ago. Like, I started writing in high school. I'm like in my late 30s now. And that was my first poem. It was a love poem. Now I don't even write love poems.
Nice. That's so cool. It gives you just like, I just love creating. It just, mm-hmm. We hold these vibes in us, and it's like a way to just share it or just kind of let it go. So mm-hmm. we can kind of let new things in, you know, that's how I am. I'm like, all right, as soon as I get this in, I want to just share it, you know, not even on social media, but just put it out somewhere.
Right.
That way I have room for new things to come in.
Yeah. I've always been a curious, like kid. I've always been like, as a young, even in my teenage years, there's always been like, I was always interested in different things. It wasn't just like, I didn't always have like this one interest, this one passion. And you could call it ADD, but you know, for me, it's, I call it multifaceted.
I call it DOPE, you know, just.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're just exploring. You have, you know, and I think that's so great when kids are always like, I don't know what I want to be. And I'm like, yo, that's great. You know, like, try different stuff. Paint, like, kick a ball around, you know, wrestle someone in high school, whatever it is, you know.
You like, never know.
Yeah. It's cool because, like, you could follow one dream and it may just open up a whole other door. You may think you want to be a director and then you're doing lighting at the, you know, you're learning lighting while you're trying to write your own show. And you're like, wait, I love lighting. And it's like, it started from you just doing something.
No, it is true. And you like, it does open doors. Cause even like the things that I'm doing now, you know, from doing poetry to then hosting events to then taking that into like a space where I'm doing like a talk show and I'm traveling to different cities now with this show. So it's like, I never knew that things would even evolve in that direction. Like I've never even imagined it. So I'm living, sometimes I say like I'm living a dream that I never even imagined to dream, you know? It's crazy.
That's so cool. It's so like, do you write goals or is it just kind of like, do you have a, because I know you have.
Oh, I write goals? Yeah. They are everywhere.
I love that new Kanye song where he's like, make sure you write it in pen, you know, like when you write it down, and especially if it's in pen, you're taking it a little more serious.
Right. You know, you're the pencil you can erase, you know.
You're being like, we'll see. But like, that's
tentative.
Real.
Yeah.
That's fire that you're
right. No, I'm a big believer of that. And being a poet and like, and just like, even like on a deeper level, like just a spiritual person, like I do know and value the power in words. So, you know, I ask, you know, there's a saying, like they call it spelling for a reason, you know, because you literally like do cast spells with words. So like when you write things down, you know, you're creating a power, you're creating a tool to manifest what you write down. So yeah, I make vision boards all the time. I have like, they're in my room, like everywhere.
It's so powerful. It's just mm-hmm. so powerful what we say to ourselves. It's so crazy because mm-hmm. I think about my life growing up and I remember what I would say to myself and it was a reflection on what I was doing. But as that voice in my head changed and I started being like, yo, stop being a little B word or like, chill out, bro, relax. You got this. You got this is one of my favorite quotes to myself.
Right.
Yo, you got this. You got this. And it's almost at a point where I don't even say it now. It's just like, it's like tattooed embedded, in my soul somewhere where I'm like, all right, I got this. And
yeah, sometimes I gotta tell myself, like, you know, I try to look at people that are successful in the spaces that I'm in. And I'm like, yo, if they could do it, I could do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing that, you know, separates them from me, you know. We're both humans. We can both, you know, we both have ideas. We both have our own minds. Like, it's just a matter of, you know, how much you want to dedicate yourself to making that dream a reality.
So true. Mm-hmm. And it's what I've been really acknowledging lately, J Rose, is the balance of like finding people that could help you, having people in your life that, you know, you're just kind of chill. You're not really learning from each other, but you're just loving each other, and then being there to help others. You know, right. I feel like we need those three sets of people in our lives to kind of balance us out.
Right.
And it's just right. So important. Like, there's people in my life, not to say anything, but they're not really doing much. Like, I can't look at them as like, oh, they're in my life because they're doing all this for me. I want to keep them in my life. Like, right. Because they're helping me. Like, no, like, I feel like I'm in their life to help them.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure.
And that's helping me. It's like
you still learn from it. Yeah.
Of course. And it's it's like this amazing cycle where it's like, wait, me being there for someone else is helping me too. So like, I always tell anyone who's ever going through stuff, I'm like, yo, go help someone. You may feel like you need help. I know it's hard to even muster the vibe to help someone when you need help, but help someone in the smallest way.
Something within, you know, their capacity, what they're able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just, you know, really love to help others. And I guess like, that's kind of like where I think we stand, you know. I really do love helping other people. For me, it's, you know, watching people like grow. That's why like my thing is keep growing. I always say that because, you know, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been doing something, no matter how much you think you've experienced something and you're an expert, you know, there's always some type of room for growth there, you know? And it's just a matter of like, if you understand that, then you know that there's no cap, there's no limit, because there's always space and room for growth. So there's no limit to like what you can do and how far you can go with it. But yeah, you know, like the balance, the having the right people around you, all of that really does play a part. And when you don't have that, it gets really difficult to like motivate yourself and keep yourself, you know, focused, because you feel so deterred by like not having that balance of like those groups of people around you. But, you know, you have to understand that like, you just got to keep focusing on building whatever you need to build. And the universe, like there's this like law of attraction, basically, that, you know, those right people will come and gravitate to you, you know. You will learn your lessons. You will work with people that maybe you shouldn't have worked with, you know, but like, instead of being salty about it, you got to take that down as like a lesson. That L is a lesson. It's not a loss, because now you know how you don't want to operate, how you don't want a partner to operate with you when it comes to like business or anything like that. So yeah, it's really important to have that.
It's so real. Yeah. And I've had some crazy experiences where I was so used to like going somewhere with someone, like, oh, we're going to go to the event, come with me. And this was early on in the game. This is probably like maybe 15 years ago or so, where like, where I was just getting my feet wet, like trying to be a public artist in my way. And I remember literally the day, like, cause it was so life changing for me. No one was able to go. The person I was dating at the time had work. My brother had work. My best friend had work. And I went to an open mic. I wanted to go to an open mic that I saw on MySpace. I only had a few friends really, like, and it was before really the brand grew and I made so many friends.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I want to go. I need to practice. I'm going to this thing. I went to that event. I did a little poetry rhyme thing. And I remember I made friends that I still have to this day.
Wow.
They're like going on over 12, 13 year friendships. But these people were like some of the biggest supporters of my dreams when I was like just starting. Like, they came to my events, they filmed the stuff. This is like before followers and IG and
right, it's a real support.
they came, they would film. I remember my friend Joe Khalil, shout out to him. I put out a CD. He bought 10 of them. Like, it was support that I like never, like they gave me books.
Yeah, yeah.
They wrote me letters in the books, like, you know, Noodles, you know, you got this. And like, and I remember if I didn't go to that poetry event alone, I don't know if I would ever made friends with these people. We were in completely different social spheres.
You know what's crazy? I recommend that
to anyone out there. Go to an event, even if no one could come with you.
Go.
You're going to make a friend if you go there with a straight head and straight vibe and you're not trying no silliness and you just go with an open mind to connect. And
yeah.
What were you saying?
No, I had a very, like, very similar experience when I first started, when I decided to host events. I've been writing poetry for over 20 years, but I didn't start performing spoken word till about 6 years ago. And yeah, 6 years ago. So I had a situation where I wanted to start performing. I was scared. So I decided, I was like, okay, I'm gonna, this is like me jumping off the ledge, ripping the Band-Aid off. I was like, I've never performed before, but I'm gonna host a poetry slam. I don't wanna compete, but I was already building connections in the poetry community on social media, on Instagram. So, you know, but it was a very, you know, closer, smaller, obviously. I wasn't where I'm connected with as many people now. So this was like 6 years ago. I had like 500 followers, maybe. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, but I never did a slam before. I never went to a slam before, but I feel like I know what it's like. I really was like reaching, let me tell you. And I saw an open mic flyer on Instagram, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go to this is not too far from my house. So I was supposed to go with someone, and they flaked on me like last minute, like not even like canceled, they just like ghosted for the day, like I didn't hear it from them. So I was like really pissed off about it and annoyed, because I didn't want to go by myself. I was scared.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what, I gotta do some of this research, because I want to host this event that I'm already starting to plan. I never did this before.
Yeah.
And I never performed before. So I went to this open mic by myself. It was a slam. It was a poetry slam. And I met poets. Matter of fact, the host of that event, shout out to D Brown. He texted me today. and this was like 6 years ago. So I made friends with poets there that I'm still friends with now, that still come to my events, that I go to their events, you know, when they do stuff. It was funny when the host had, you know, congratulated him on a great event. He was like, oh, thanks. And he's like, you know, just wondering, like, how did you hear about this event? And I was like, oh, I saw it on Instagram. And his face was like shocked. He was like, wait, like it worked? Like social media worked? And I was like, yeah, I saw it on Instagram. And I was like, I'm going to go to this. And he's like, that's so cool. And we're still friends. And so I loved your story, because I was just like, yo, I went through the same thing in the beginning, too. I hadn't done any events. And some of the people I met at that open mic, at that slam, slammed at my event. And then I featured them. Now it's to the point where, like, now years later, I'm interviewing them on my show. And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, it's like family now, you know.
That's so cool. Yeah. And it's just a great lesson learned, that stepping out of the comfort zone, you know.
Yes. Like,
we were both almost had a very similar experience.
Exactly.
And we took the same action, even though no one was there to kind of hold our hand, you know,
right?
Mentally, we were just like, right, all right, whatever. I want to do this. It's cool. So it's not Nickelodeon. It's all good.
Okay. I was like, oops.
But
forgot.
No, it's all good. So
I think if I would have gone with somebody, I wouldn't have connected with the people that I did the way that I did, because when you go somewhere with someone, you tend to like feel like you have to host them. You have to like be attentive to them, especially if you're bringing them to like your your thing.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You feel like you want to make them comfortable. So like your attention really isn't on like being too present for the space. You're also like splitting your being present with like being present for that person or those people when you're with a group of friends. Yeah. So I'm glad I went by myself, because that night for me, just like for you, changed my life completely.
Yeah.
You know, that space, that venue became like my home for a little while when I finally decided to get onto the stage to perform, you know. That's and so shout cool. out to Theater 294 in Farmingdale. They're not open anymore. It broke my heart when they closed down, but that was my home for a little while before I really stepped into the poetry scene like more aggressively.
Yeah, and I want to shout out the Muddy Cup. That's where I was.
Ooh, see, you never forget. You never.
It's no longer there, but it was right. a staple for the Staten Island poetry community and rap and just music community for a long
right.
time. And
right.
So yeah, RIP to the full cup.
Word, God, we're not forgotten.
But that's real. Yeah. So, you know, if you're out there, you got, you know, you got a dream and you see something out there that you're like, oh, you know, it hits you and you feel this, oh, I got to see this. And it's like, just because a few people aren't popping up, want to pop out with you, or maybe they just can't come out, don't take that as a sign to be like, oh, well, now I'm not going. Because,
right.
Of course, right. you know, certain, if you're going to something at 3 a.m. and you're a young woman, I'm not saying go out there and get in trouble, you know, like
right be time. Smart about and, it be smart about it.
But if it's a poetry event in the city with, you know, and it's it has become, you know,
I for sure
go out there, you know,
and I encourage people just woman. To do that in general, just for life. Like, you got to be comfortable being by yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we grow up, we have the society where it's kind of like hard. Everyone's sad and feels lonely, but like that can't do anything by themselves. So it's like, what? So, you know, you have to be able to like get comfortable into doing things by yourself. And that, for me, that was one of the most pivotal moments in my own like self-discovery and my own self like awareness journey, you know. And I started going to events by myself. I went to the New Eureka by myself, and that's where I performed for the very first time on stage.
Oh, wow.
That's, you know, for like spot. They did an open mic at the end of a show. I was so nervous. It was awful. It was one of the worst. It was terrible. But I went by myself, you know, and I learned that like this journey was for me. It wasn't for me to like bring anybody else along with me. This was my journey, and I had to be comfortable doing things for myself.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I like going to open mics by myself. I still like doing it. I will show up. Now it's a little hard for me to go to an open mic in New York and not run into somebody that I know. That's 6 years sure. later. That's like super rare. But I don't mind. I don't mind just walking in by myself. I don't have to go anywhere with anyone. I know that I'm going to connect with somebody. I know that I'm going to, you know, network, and I'm cool with it.
That's a great attitude to have. And it really shows from your evolution from, you know, having a kind of a little worried moment in the beginning before that first performance, which is totally normal, to now providing right. a stage for so many. So you really right. live by the keep growing, because that's just growing. That's growing for sure right there.
Oh, and always. Yes. Yes.
And that's one of my favorite quotes too. I always use a metaphor of like using a garden and taking care of the garden.
Right.
And then when I saw you keep growing, I was like, oh, this is so dope. Like,
it's the alignment.
I was like, we're going to be friends one day. Like,
and yes. here we are.
So, but that, so it's just so cool. You know, the last year has just been wild for so many people, you know, like we've all gone through a lot. Mm-hmm. I know you kind of did something during the pandemic that was, you know, some people would be like, oh, what, she did this? Like, maybe you could kind of talk about how you you know, in the middle of the pandemic, you just went somewhere out, oh. like how'd that even come together? Where'd you go?
So yeah, during the pandemic, you know, because the quarantine kind of pushed everybody into social media to be able to have human interaction, some type of interaction. I met a lot of people. My audience exploded. And because I'm really big on organic growth, you know, it's been like a nice steady growth of audience. So like I've connected with people all over the country, all over the world. It's kind of why we ended up traveling with the talk show rather than staying in New York. Like that was the original plan. I made friends everywhere, and I made some friends in the UK. And I was like mad hyped about just having like real legitimate friends, like people that I could like call, people I could be like, hey, I'm coming out there, let me stay with you. And they'd be like, yeah, come through. In the middle of a pandemic, I flew to the UK by myself, alone, and came back alone, and in the middle of a pandemic, and I went to hang out with some friends out there. It was cool though, like,
wow, that's a great experience.
Yeah, I've traveled alone before, but not like internationally. Like I flew out to like Chicago once by myself. Other than that, I think in like Atlanta, but other than that, I haven't really flown anywhere alone. So it was very nerve-wracking, but again, with my spirituality, like I'm a life path number 5, and 5 is like the number of like adventure. This is a year 5. So this year has been like a year of adventures. Like I traveled a lot this year in the middle of this like wild ass pandemic.
That's, you know, when I always say when you get, have a calling, answer.
Right. Flights was calling.
And the flights are probably, yeah. And I remember, I think we talked or something during that time where you were like kind of waiting to get back or something that you kind of had.
Yeah. There were a few times that we spoke and.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I went to the UK. I went to St. Thomas. I went to film in Tampa, and then I went back to Tampa for vacation. So like there was like a 4-month spread of time, 5-month spread of time where I literally was flying like every month. And the last like 2 months I haven't gone anywhere, and I'm definitely going through like travel withdrawals. Like I'm like, oh, I want to get away.
I haven't been anywhere since, I can't even say, I don't even remember.
You like, need a vacation.
I think I went to Cali about 2 years ago, almost two. What?
We need to get you out of here. We should go visit Phoenix out in LA.
Oh snap, yeah.
That would be dope.
That would be really cool. I love LA. I've been to LA more than any other city.
Oh really? I've only gone once, and I was there like just for a few hours because then we were driving up to Tahoe. Like we flew into LA and then we drove up to Tahoe for the weekend. And I had like, when I tell you the most fastest tour of LA that you could possibly imagine. It was just like, here's the Hollywood Bowl, here's the sign, here's the Chinese Theater, here's the Walk of Fame. Nice. It was like boom, 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 boom. All right, we're out. And I was like, damn. But I loved the 6 hours that I was maybe in there.
That's dope. Yeah. I've been there quite a few times, always for a different purpose. And it's always memorable.
Yeah, always. We gotta start a campaign, like, you know, from New York to LA, let's go.
real talk. That's real. I can't wait to start doing more events and stuff out of town, and doing my first event this week, even though this podcast will probably come out shortly after that. But I'm grateful to kind of be back out there.
You have it on the event on Saturday, right?
Yeah. So we're going to be making about 100 shirts for people. It's going to be really cool. Giving out merch all day.
I love that.
But yeah, so it's just so dope to just really see you shining like this. Thank you. When you talk about helping others, you know, it really just shows like that this is your calling, and you really have answered, and you continue to stay on that call, which is so dope to watch.
It's important. That's why when you and I connected, and what we worked on together already, it made sense to me. You know, I don't, people want to collaborate often with my platform. And I love that. But, you know, sometimes not everybody's vision is aligned with like my vision. Not everybody's like intentions really lines up with what my intentions are with the things that I do. So some things just don't serve my purpose. And I do have to, you know, unfortunately kind of pass on some opportunities or proposals for opportunities to collaborate with others, because it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work for, it's not, we're not aligned with what you're trying to do. Yeah. But when, you know, you and I connected, you know, your vision is almost like parallel to mine. You know, we just, you do a lot more for like more music creatives than, but I see you expanding into others. So, you know, I bring in like the poetry, you know, like the more artsy, yeah, crowd in, and like, but we both have very similar intentions with what we do. So that's why it makes sense to like, yeah, let's work together. Let's combine our superpowers, like Captain Planet.
With our powers, yeah, with our powers combined.
Yeah,
that's real. Yeah, no, it was super organic, and you know,
yes,
I'm excited about. We got other collabs in the works that, yes, people will see.
I'm already like, yo, we gotta talk after this.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, you know, I was just kind of going through a lot of things, and I saw that there's some interesting facts about about
my fun facts.
I see that there was something with a fraternity or whatever. Like, how did that? Like, what was that all about?
So a lot of people don't know this about me. So in my early 20s, I had a friend who was pledging for a fraternity. And he had asked me to help him pledge. So basically, fraternities and sororities have something called sweethearts. And the sweethearts are people of like the opposite gender, right? That basically help the pledgees get through the pledging process. But they also are like honorary members of the organization. So this is before J. Rose existed as a name, as a persona, as a poet. I was Jasmine. I didn't even know I was a poet. I was writing, but I didn't consider myself a poet. And so my friend asked me to help him pledge for this fraternity, Sigma Phi Rho. So I was like, all right, cool, sure, you know, and I helped him and I pledged along with him in a way, and I got incorporated into the fraternity. So I'm a sweetheart to Sigma Phi Rho, and the name that they have for their sweethearts are Rho Roses, and they spell it R-H-O, you know, Rho Roses. So it's like, a lot of people don't know that about me, but I am like connected to like this huge fraternity and like this whole Greek life. And, you know, I've actually recently performed at some of their like meetings. They've asked me to collaborate on events with them. You know, some of the other roses, you know, stay connected with me. And like when I tell this story, it always makes me realize how like I've always been a rose. Like, doesn't matter. And even with my name Jasmine, I've always been a flower. There's always been, you know, my mother's name is Flor in Spanish, that's flower. So, you know, being J. Rose, being the owner of the Rose Garden event, and, you know, my mantra being keep growing, it all ties in. That's like a fun fact. A lot of people don't know that about me, so you kind of got like a little exclusive info on J. Rose.
So were you J. Rose before that happened?
No, like, I never.
Or the name just kind of connected, just
eventually. Yeah, randomly. Like I became, I really started using the name J. Rose, maybe like 6 years ago when I started performing.
Got you.
maybe 7 years ago when I started sharing my poetry more. Yeah, so, and this was like longer than that. So yeah, that's why like it makes me, I never make that connection until like I tell the story.
Yeah.
And when I tell the story, I'm like, oh, look at that. I was a rose. And then I grew to J Rose, you know.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
And that, it's just, you know, it's just been a real reflective year for everyone, you know. So for me, it's always so good to have these conversations. I feel it's like very healing for me. It's really, it's given me like a pulse of just constantly talking to someone who we talk, but we don't talk all the time.
Right.
A lot of my guests too, we've talked, but it kind of forces people to talk about their dreams, which is something I love.
Yeah.
And just talking to people, you know, is just such an important thing. Being there for others, such an important thing.
Yeah. You
know, and I know you're really big on mental health and women empowerment. So how is, you know, what do you got going on, or what's kind of the it's hard to say, like, how did you get into this, but like,
okay,
what's it mean to you, you know, all
okay
that stuff?
Yeah, so I am a really big avid, like, I'm an advocate for mental health awareness, suicide prevention, of course, and women's empowerment. And you know, a lot of it is all kind of like tied in together. The mental health advocacy really comes from my own personal experience battling mental health issues, and you know, being diagnosed with mental health disorder in my mid-30s, you know, which is like kind of like shakes your world a little bit, you know, because you live over 3 decades, you know, being a certain way, and then like it's not until somebody tells you that like there's some mental health issues going on that like other things in your past start to like, whoa, this makes sense, this is why I responded to certain things like this. So a lot of my advocacy for that really just comes from, you know, my experience with coping with that, with being, you know, hospitalized for, you know, suicidal attempts, you know, and you know, the space that I'm in now, like the growth that I've been able to have since, you know, those darker times. I feel like sharing my story is important, and whether it's in a poem, I have a poem that was published in an anthology called I Am Not Crazy. It's available on Amazon. We're actually going to do a special event next week in Queens, in honor of the book. It's called the I Am Not Crazy Mike. I'm one of the three hosts, and you know, my poem was published in that book. It's actually the first poem that I've written that has been published in a book, that's not like an online platform. And so I'm really, really proud of that, especially because the poem is about something that's really important to me, which is mental health. And the disorder that I was diagnosed with is borderline personality disorder. And, you know, sharing my story, sharing my experience, sharing how I learned how to like navigate myself out of like triggers and things like that, I feel like it's important. And for a long time, I was really scared and quiet about it and embarrassed, you know, like, especially who I am in the community that I've been building, that I've been cultivating. This last few years, the poetry community, I'm seen as like, you know, a leader in this community. I'm seen as like a pillar of strength in this community. People look to me for inspiration. People look to me for strength. People look to me for opportunities for themselves to grow and for themselves to heal. And so it was really hard for me to like share that, like, I break sometimes. I'm broken sometimes. I still go through depressive episodes. You know, I still battle with anxiety. It's just that I've learned to cope with those things in a way more healthier way. So that's why it's really important to me. I do talk about mental health often. I always encourage people to get therapy. You know, it's great to have creative outlets like poetry and painting and writing and rapping and singing and dancing and all those other really amazing things. But those are just like, you know, temporary fixes. Those are just like band-aids, you know. Going to therapy really does like the healing from inside, you know. It's like the Neosporin that you put on to like help that wound heal a little faster, you know. Yeah. So I think it's really important that, you know, people do seek therapy and have these conversations more often. But yeah, and then, you know, the women's empowerment just ties into all that, you know, being a woman and, you know, the trauma that, you know, I've had to endure being a woman and, you know, the things that I've had to go through and how that's affected my mental health, you know, down the line as an adult. So, yeah, those are like things that are really, really important to me. I write about them. I talk about them often. So, yeah, it's my thing.
It's so important. And it's great that you're sharing your story. And I know it's not easy too, but it's great that you're out there, you know, sharing your story. So people, you know, we're all going through something.
Right.
And it sucks hearing that someone's went through some tough shit or whatever, but like, you're like, oh wow, you know, I'm not the only one, and like,
right,
we could talk about this together too. And you know,
yeah,
you're not a therapist, but like, you've
far from it,
you've been in that game, but mm-hmm. you've been in that where like, so that's a
blessing. Yeah,
and now you're blessing others, and that's a wonderful thing.
No, it is, it feels good. Very happy to share. I'm very open with discussing my experiences. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago was Suicide Awareness Week. And I did post, you know, a very intimate look into some of my experiences in the past. And a woman who I only know her through social media, and she's, you know, sweet, sweet woman. She reached out to me and privately and basically was saying that, like, she wanted to thank me for that post because she just admitted her son into a facility. And she said she was going to save that post to show him when he got out. So he can see that, you know, there's hope out there. Like, you know, there's strong people that end up in the same position. So that doesn't make him weak. So I feel like when I do share my story and my testimony, like, it's kind of, you know, it does that for people.
Yeah, and it's crazy if you think about it, like, the strongest people that we know have probably been through the most shit.
Right.
You know, like, that's how they had to become that way.
Right. So true.
So shout out to everyone, you know, that's been through some shit.
Word, yo, you know, did it. You still through. Doing it. That's you still through. Here.
It's not like this life thing is not easy at all. No. You know, it's truly like a fight, you know, but it is worth it.
Yeah.
And I say to all my friends, all my listeners, all my people, like, a lot of people like, oh, Noodles, oh, I was gonna hit you up, bro, but I know you're busy. Like,
oh, I hear that all the time.
I just want to turn that volume down and be like, yo, hit me up, volume turn.
Right.
Like, if you need a friend, if you're, you know, if you're on the edge of some bullshit, not bullshit, but like, you're feeling some, and you're out there, even if you're a listener and you're like, oh, I just know Noodles, like, I don't really know him like that. I never want to hear about any story about anyone getting hurt or now not here.
Right.
Please, if you hit me up and is any way I could help, just talk to you for a few minutes. I may not have all the answers, but at least my answer is being there for people.
Yeah. Sometimes people also, I always like to let people know that, you know, sometimes you don't need to, like, when I know people are sharing a little bit, but I don't want to feel invasive, you know, like I'm being nosy, asking them their business. You know, I tell them like, yo, you could reach out to me and you don't got to tell me your business. I don't need to know. If you don't want to share, if you just want to laugh, I'll tell you some corny dad jokes. And, you know, we'll talk about movies. We'll have a music battle. Like, we'll do something to get your mind off of it. I'll make you laugh. But the thing is, like, just don't sit being sad. Don't sit, you know, don't sit in those emotions too long, you know. So parent them. And I could be, you know, like a support there, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, if I don't have time, we will make time. We'll set aside time. You know what I mean? Or I'll give you something to do while I'm busy, you know, like, hey, why don't you check out this website and read this, you know, or something. Yeah. I hate when people tell me, oh, I wanted to hit you up, but you're always so busy. And it's like, yeah, I'm always busy, but like, that doesn't mean I can't take a break, you know?
Exactly.
If I don't know what's going on with you, I'm going to stay busy.
It's real.
So just, you know, holler at your girl. Like, yo, like I know me. Like, I went through a depressive episode. And I got to a point where I was literally just reaching out to my friends and telling them, like, I'm sad. Like, they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it, but I just want you to know that I'm sad, you know? And wow. Then, you know, that's when, well, let's go out for some drinks. Like, let's go listen to some music. Let's go hang out. Let's get out the house, you know. And people can respond to however they need to respond. And but reach out to people. Don't be afraid. And if they're busy for you, don't take that personal, you know. Just yeah. Keep reaching out. Don't stop at one or two friends. You know, if you got to reach out to 10 people and, you know, with the outcome of you still being here, then reach out to 10 people.
Yeah, it's so real. And right. But yeah, so yeah, anyone who needs us, you know where to find us.
You know where we at, you know where to find me.
So with all the stuff you do, I'm like, how does she even have time to do anything else? But like, you have another probably double full-time job. Like, you have two young kids as yeah. well, which is super blessing.
I'm a mom.
That like I wouldn't. I'm like, oh, she probably never had any kid. Like you just said, like she's out here doing this. Like, but you're making it all work, and like, and your kids are doing amazing. You always tell me about them doing good in school.
Yeah, yeah, they're good. You know, they pain in the butts, but you know that's what kids are supposed to do. I have a 6-year-old son, 15-year-old daughter. So, you know, their age difference is pretty, pretty big. So I'm dealing with two different type of humans. And let me tell you, they're very different from each other. I am grateful that I, you know, have my parents are still here and, their father is still, you know, in their life and, great, great fathers. And so like, I have the right support system to be able to, you know, I guess, overwhelm myself with work. Yeah. Because, you know, I have my parents and their dads to like really jump in when I need them to. So if I have to work and do an event one night, you know, they make, you know, everybody makes sure the homework is done, you know, stuff like that. But I also like prioritize my time. So, you know, like now that they're back in school, it's a little better because, you know, like I get up in the mornings, I drop them off to school. I can go to the gym. I come home, I get work done. Then I go pick them up from school. I could get more work done. Then it's homework time with my little one, shower time. Like right now, we did homework already, so I can do this interview with you. And as soon as we're done, it's like, mom, shower time. By 9 o'clock, my little one has to be in bed. Oh, and yeah. Then, you know, by 11, I got to make sure the big one's in bed. And then I'm back on the computer to like work. So it never ends, but I make it work. I have people that do help me. I'm grateful for it. I'm blessed. People will say like, oh, you're so lucky. And I'm like, I don't even believe in luck. Like it's a straight up blessing. to not only have my parents here, but that they're willing to even be involved in my children's life, because I have friends that I personally know that their parents are like, don't bring your kids over here. Mm. You know, I have friends that are like, they tell me like, yo, I wish my mom or my dad would watch my kids. Like, I have friends that gotta pay their parents to like watch their kids. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Gotta pay them to be a grandparent? Like, wow. That's wild. That's how awesome. I make it happen. It's the support system.
Takes a tribe, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Shout out to all the grandparents. Shout out to all the moms and pops out there.
Yeah, and the people that are doing it without the support system. Like, yeah. I'm blessed. I know that a lot of the things that I do, I probably couldn't do a percentage of them if I didn't have those support systems in place, you know? So the people that are doing it, you know, without those support systems, like, shout out to you too, because, you know, and those that are being that support system, like, that's so clutch right there, you know?
I think about it. I don't have a kid yet or whatever, but I always think, I always try to think of the dynamic, and I'm like, yo, shout out to everyone out there who has a kid who makes it work with a job and with a dream. And you're putting in God's work right there.
Really trying, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. You know, there's still, even with the support, you know, I still have sleepless nights, you know, like last night I put my son to bed 9:00. I fall asleep, right? Because my eyes are tired too. And then I wake up at like 1 a.m. and jump on my laptop till like 4. Mm. So it's sick. It's sickening. Like, I should have just taken my ass back to sleep.
Yo, I know the vibe is, when I wake up, my lady, she wakes up early for school. I hear the slightest little movement, and I'm like, okay, I'm up.
Damn.
And then, but when I'm up, my mind is like, all right, I got to do these. If I do this way, then this. Okay, we're going to cook this. I got to pick up the
paprika. You're racing here already.
And it's cool. It's cool, though, because I'm like forward thinking, but I'm in the moment, too. I'm like, okay, well, I got to make the coffee for got to make the PB, but like, there's all these tasks, and it's just like, all right, just gotta nail it. It's
one after the other.
Checking it, check it, check, and then some are a little crazier than others.
Yeah, that's why I gotta have my handy dandy. Like, this is, I gotta write every week. I write down what I have to accomplish this week, whether it's a personal goal or, you know, work for projects for my clients. You know, it goes on there, and I try to make it happen.
So since we're both in the dreams, I'm going to just throw a couple at you and just let, you know, I didn't even plan this, but I feel like I'll get some good answers.
Okay.
So let's just try this. I've been wanting to do this on the show anyway. So, like, if you could collab with any, it could be professional, like not underground artist, on a track, who would it be? First person you think of?
It would have to be J. Cole. Because every time I listen to his music, I want to write so bad.
So good.
Like, immediately I want to write, and I want to be like a rapper all of a sudden. Like, he makes me want to be a rapper.
That's fire. If you could perform in any venue in the USA, which one would it be?
Ooh, damn. I mean, I would probably go with something classic like Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you make it to Madison Square Garden, like, you know, you big time.
That's fire. Okay.
And I feel like people all over the world know about Madison Square Garden.
It's, yeah. That's the epicenter right there.
Right.
The garden. Oh, man. If you could, interview someone that is no longer living, who would it be?
Damn. If I could interview someone who's no longer living, oh, yeah. Give me 1 minute.
I'll give you like two more and then we, I know you got
some. No, because it's almost shower time. Yes, yes. So no. My son is already like, are you gonna turn the water off for me? Like,
that anyway, respect.
Damn, who would I interview that's no longer with us? Oh my gosh, so many people. Sugar. All right. Damn. Every time I think of one person, I think of somebody else. Okay. No, I'm not gonna go with that. All right. So many people to pick from. And I love interviewing people. So now this is like really difficult. Okay. All right, I'm going to go with Michael Jackson because his from interviews of other people that have worked with him making music, he was like a perfectionist. And I have reason to believe that he was somewhat of like a musical savant, the way he listened to music. And I feel like I would have a lot of questions because I feel like I listen to music the same way. So I think I would want to interview him. And I want to ask him some scandalous questions. So yeah, like
that's fire. All right. So my last question. What would the J Rose now tell the J Rose that just started dreaming earlier on in her life? What would
leave that man alone, girl? No, let me stop. I'm just kidding.
I feel you.
I would tell.
Very applicable to many people.
Word. So applicable. I would probably go back in time and tell her, I promise you it will get better. I promise that this is not forever. And whatever it is that you're going through right now, it's temporary and life is going to be amazing. Just trust the process.
I love it.
Yeah. And keep growing, girl.
I love it. So everyone out there, make sure to connect with my homie J Rose. Where could people find you on all?
You can find me on IG at @mycrumbledthoughts. That's @my_crumbled_thoughts. You can find my promo page with all my flyers and promo content for all my events at the Rose Garden Events. And you can tune into my talk show. Season 4 does launch at the end of this month. It's a talk show called The J Rose Experience. I travel to different cities and I interview poets in those cities. So we are dropping the 4th season, which was filmed in Tampa. So you can find that on Instagram at J Rose Experience. And yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Rose Garden Events, all that good stuff. You guys already know what to do.
Yeah, she's on her way to hit that 1,000.
I'm trying to get the 1,000 subscribers, yo.
Let's get it there.
Yes.
And J Rose, it's just been dope to just see you grow. And everyone out there, make sure to connect with J Rose. And really, this is a woman that really out here living her dreams, helping other people with their dreams. And thank you for all you do in the community. And I'm really looking forward to our collab. And many collabs on different things.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't wait to talk to you about what I've been thinking of. It literally is like developing in my head as we're talking. It's crazy.
That's cool. Because I've been thinking, I felt it too. I'm like, oh, I feel like something's coming, but I'm like, I'm not gonna even hit her up. I feel like
let's set up that call. Yeah, yeah. Let's set all up right, that call. Right. I got some stuff ideas brewing.
All right, cool.
But yes, thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor. I'm like, I can't wait to let people know, to tune in. This is a great platform. What you do for other people is beautiful, and you know, like we on the same page here. So I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Of course, it's an honor to support dreamers, and you know, you're really out here living the dreams and helping other dreamers dream too. So it's an honor to just learn from you as well. And everyone out there, you know, remember, don't stop dreaming, keep growing, connect on all the platforms, subscribe so you could hear awesome dreamers like Jay Rose every other week share their stories about how they turn their dreams into reality.
Yes.
And peace out to everyone.
Yes, peace.